Good morning to each and every one of you. Nice, sunny, bright morning. Certainly we can thank the Lord for His goodness to us. It was a good song that Mike finished with there. Certainly His blood and righteousness and His redemptive work for us on the cross of Calvary. I thought this morning for some time here that we would look at the judgment seat of Christ. I've been thinking about that for the last few weeks, and as you're given the opportunity to speak and you start thinking about different things and different things come to your mind and verses and that it's amazing how Scripture comes together and how it can parallel together concerning the judgment of God, the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, which He will set up in His own time. He will be the judge of all. All things one day will be put under the feet of the Lord Jesus, and He will offer them up to the Father, that He will be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15. And you know, but in this time period in which we're living, in the church age, we're under the fiery eye of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scrutiny of Him who is the judge of all the earth. And He's the one that judges in our lives the things that we do, whether good or bad. If all things that we do, we judge ourselves by the Word of God. And if we stick to the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ will then be the center of our lives, truly the center of our lives, won't He? Because our heart's desire, my heart's desire, and each one of you, is to please God as believers in Christ, as His children, as His blood-bought children. And so we need to keep in mind, we need to refresh ourselves from time to time, that one day we are going to be judged for the things that we do in this body. And we need to take account of our lives as to how we're doing day by day. In our service for the Lord, in our daily walk with the Lord, in keeping short accounts with Him, some of the things that we need to do in order to truly say that we're following Him. That we're truly, the desire of our heart is to follow Him. So that we ought to take a look at our lives and give account as to our service for the Lord. I'm going to read a few verses, some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to begin at verse 10. First nine verses, they're very tremendous verses in regards to our bodies here on earth, and that one day this body will return to the dust of the earth. This house, this tabernacle will be dissolved. But we have a body in heaven, eternal. We will have a body, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. And so then Paul goes into the subject of the judgment seat of Christ. And his emphasis before that is, you know, whether we're absent from the body and present with the Lord in death. And Paul says that to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's a tremendous thought, isn't it, when you think of it? We gain with Christ. We gain. We have so much to gain with Christ. But he realized that he had a work to do, and that he would do it as God would give him the strength and the ability to do it. But his first desire would be to gain and to be with the Lord personally. Paul had faced a lot of persecution and a lot of heartache, suffering in his body. But his desire was to be faithful to the end, that he might finish his course with joy. I'm going to read verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you for us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Tremendous portion of scripture here as Paul is writing in his second letter to the church of Corinth concerning man's service to the Lord, and the motive in which service is done, and in the light of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us his all on the cross of Calvary for us. How are we serving him? We know that the Bible teaches that there are many different judgments from the time God created man. And God made judgment upon man, pronounced judgment because of sin. We think of the flood when God judged the earth for the wickedness and the sin of man. We think of the law. The law was a judge. Though they couldn't keep the law, but yet it was the commandments that God instituted for the children of Israel, that they might know who he is and how they were to live. The law was a judge. And there were judges that were set up in the time of the kings and so on. I think of different judges that ruled and how there was evil in the world. People did that which is right in their own eyes. And judges were evil. And then I think of when we come down to the fact of concerning the things of Israel and the prophets and those that spake forth the word of God, that spake his word, and as they pronounced judgment upon the people of Israel, as God's word was given through the prophets, that was a form of God's judgment. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he was the true and only judge, true judge, when he came into this world. He's the judge of all the earth. And when we read in Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was here on earth, as he sought to reveal the Father and the plan of the Father to those that were lost, he didn't come, he says, to destroy man's lives, but he came to save. The people judged the Lord Jesus. They made all kinds of comments and all kinds of accusations concerning him. The son of a fornicator, the son of a drunkard, as it was told in Psalms, that he would be that by the wicked men of this world. They falsely accused him so many times, in so many ways. They accused him of being equal with the Father. Knowing the Father as Abraham, and here is one who is declaring himself as the Son of the Father, of the Holy Father, the God of the universe, and they rejected him. And there were people that judged him. The ungodly were judging him. The Lord Jesus opened not his mouth, did he? He spake when if he felt it was time. But you know, in suffering, he opened not his mouth, did he? Though he was accused of many things, he was judged of many things, yet he left the judgment up to the Father. He was in complete obedience to the Father, wasn't he? And so we see here, as Paul is writing concerning the judgment seat of Christ, that the Lord Jesus Christ would one day be the judge. It would be a seat, a place where he would be the judge of all believers, all those whom the Lord has taken up to be with himself, one day when he comes to take us home. And eventually he will set up the judgment seat, and he will judge believers. He's not going to judge unbelievers. That's not the time for it. One day he will judge the ungodly. At the great white throne judgment. And he will judge mankind for their rejection of the Son of God. The very one who came and gave his life as a ransom on the cross of Calvary, whom they rejected. There was no other sacrifice. There's no other way that man could be saved than through his shed blood on Calvary. And they reject the message. And they're pronounced away from me. And he casts them into everlasting punishment and utter darkness and judgment. This is a judgment of believers. This is a judgment seat that is set up that the Lord Jesus will judge the works and what we've done in our lives, whether it be good or bad. Everyone shall receive the things done in his body according as he has done. The things that we have done in our body, to what we have done. What have we done since we've come to know Christ as Savior? As we look back over our lives and think about when we were saved, and think of what has happened in our lives and decisions and various things in our lives, trials that we've faced and so on, changes in our lives, so many things. But has it helped us to grow closer to Him? Are they in mind of the fact that we have to one day give an account for the things that we have done? The day is coming, isn't it, when we're going to have to do that. The Lord Jesus said in one occasion that we're to give an account for every idle word that's spoken. Every idle word that's spoken. He knows, he hears, and he's the one that keeps the book. Imagine every word that he knows and he hears. So many words we speak day by day. And are they truly honoring to him? And it's things that whether it be good or bad, we have to give an account. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, some of the motives in which we need to have as we think, of the time that is coming when we're to give an account. What are some of the motives that we need to have in our lives? And I think Paul writes here, we know something. He says, knowing the terror of the Lord. We already know of the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. The fear of the Lord. The godly fear of the Lord. We have the wrath of God. And God pours out his wrath on the ungodly and those that reject him. His anger is poured out upon them in the day future. You know, I think we need to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts in order to truly prepare ourselves for the judgment seat of Christ. We need to have that fear of God and to realize that we're nothing before Him, but it's only because of Him. In verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. And the fear of the Lord comes because of the love of Christ. We are to love Him, aren't we? Certainly. We love Him because He first loved us, John tells us. We need to love Him. But when we think of the love of Christ, it constrains us. It ought to compel us, John says. It ought to motivate us to realize the fear. We're to have fear of God and cause us to desire to live for Him, to please Him. The godly fear, realizing that we're nothing, that He has done it all on the cross of Calvary. His love perfectly expressed in His death on the cross of Calvary. That ought to constrain us. That's the constraining power to persuade men. We are made manifest unto God. Manifest has the thought of making known there. To open up to God. We ought to manifest ourselves before God. We're to make known in our lives day by day. And to be exercised in all that we do for Him. We might be manifest unto God. And I trust also we made manifest in your conscience, in the very inner conscience, to make ourselves known to God. We're to be conscious of Him day by day in the way we live and in our service for Him. Someone has said, I believe it was Ed Palmer said, that you can love without giving, but you can't give without loving. And how true it is. If we truly love Him, we're going to give, aren't we? If we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, our heart's desire is to give. So we need to be conscious of the fact that our lives are under the scrutiny of the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit dwells within us, guides us into all truth, leads us in the path, guides our conscience and our hearts if we allow Him to. If we allow the Spirit of God to truly have control in our lives. And these are easy things to say, but hard things to do, aren't they? To allow the Spirit to have control in our lives. To allow Him to direct us. But if we do that, our ministry will be what God wants it to be, in preparing us for the judgment seat of Christ. In verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. One died for all, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're all dead, aren't we? Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its lust thereof. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, Scripture tells us that we died with him. And Paul is referring here to baptism and the fact that we feel that the Scripture teaches immersion, to be completely immersed in water. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died and gave his life, we went in death with him. We're identified with him. And we died with him. And when he arose, we arose with him. And that's the new life that Paul is talking about here, isn't it? We're to reckon ourselves dead, indeed, unto sin. We're dead unto sin. Positionally before God, we're dead unto sin. And death has no more dominion over us. Sin has no more dominion over us. When man disobeyed God, sin came into the world and was death by sin. Death is what rules the world, doesn't it? People dying every day. Many people dying daily, hourly. Death reigns in the world. But you know, to the child of God, death has changed, is turned into life, isn't it? We have life eternal. The moment we're saved, we have a new life. We're identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We belong to him. But we're dead unto sin, as Paul says. In verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Sin ought not to reign in our lives. If we're truly born again, and know and love the Lord. Because we've been dead to sin. Positionally, we're dead to sin. Daily in our lives, we sin, don't we? Sin no longer reigns between us and God. We're enemies with God, weren't we, in Romans 5. Sin was what separated us from God. The moment the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood that was placed on the mercy seat, the full atonement that he made there and satisfied the righteous demands of God and paid in full the debt of our sin. But we could not pay. He paid in our place. And because of that, because of his finished work, he has saved us and has forgiven us of all of our sins. John tells us, 1 John, that when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have one who is our mediator between God and man. There's no man that on earth that has the sinful nature from Adam could possibly be a mediator between us and God. It's impossible. But the Lord Jesus was the only one that could be the true mediator, the perfect Son of God, the one who was spotless and sinless to be our mediator. But if we sin, we need to confess to God, don't we? Say, Lord, I've sinned. And I ask that you forgive me. We need to keep short accounts with God. We need daily cleansing, don't we? Perhaps a thought that come into our mind and we ask the Lord to forgive us. The little deed, perhaps, that was done. Relationships with other believers in that. We need to keep short account with one another and with God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead to sin, to ourselves. And all our affections and all the things of this world will pass away. But the only thing that counts is our life with God. As we go through life's journey, and the things that come into our lives and the things that we face day by day cannot be compared to the fact that our life is hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden in Him. It's secure. It's in Him. And we're dead. What a great thought it is. Let's go back. We only have a few minutes left. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. And in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, unto him which died for them and rose again. You see, we can't live for ourselves and be prepared for the judgment seat of Christ. James, in times of suffering, speaks concerning the crown of life, the faithful crown. James speaks of testings and trials that they were going through, the believers there. But if you're faithful, you'll receive a crown of life. A crown of life. You can't live unto yourself and think we're going to receive a crown at the judgment seat of Christ. If we just live for ourselves and live in the flesh and just for me, and the Lord says we're not to live for ourselves, but we're to live for him who died and gave his life that we might have eternal life. I think of Paul, who said that my desire was to finish my course with joy, that henceforth he would receive a crown of righteousness unto them who would love his appearing. He was looking forward to finishing with joy. To finish my course with joy, that I might receive a crown. That was Paul's heart's desire at the end of his life, to finish on a good course. A course that would count for God and not for himself. That ought to be our desire as we seek to live for the Lord, seek to have the right motives as we serve him. Oh, it's so easy to complain and find fault, and it's easy to make excuses. We have to remind ourselves that it's him whom we're going to be judged by. The judgment seat of Christ is a picture of the athletes. The word for seat there is a thought of the athletes in Rome as they would compete in the games there. And after they were over, would be a bema seat, what they call, and the judge would judge those who were in the games, and those who won. They would come forth and receive their rewards. And they had to finish the course, didn't they? You don't get a prize unless you finish the course. So it is with us, that we might stay true to God's word, to serve him under his eye as he views our lives and how we serve him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new, and all things are of God, and it's him. He wants us to be that new creature for him to our fullest, and to recognize that we serve him and that he is the one who gives us the rewards in his own time, in his own way. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for all that he has done for us. We thank you for the fact that he loved us so. The love of Christ constrains us. The beauty of his love, his grace and mercy. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that knows not Christ as Savior, have never recognized His love and experienced His love and acknowledging that they're sinners, need a Savior, that they might do so even this morning. Father, help us as believers to be faithful to You and to go on and seek to give good account in our lives, because we need to give an account to You in what we have done, whether it be good or bad. Help us, Father, we pray, and give You thanks now for this time, and bless throughout this day, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.